Welcome to Grow in Grace Podcast, where we want to encourage you to think deeply about God so that you can know Him and love Him better. Join us as we strive to grow in grace together. Welcome to the Grow in Grace Podcast. We are your hosts, Shanna and Kristen, and we are looking forward to today's episode with one of my absolute favorite topics. Kristen, how are you?
I'm doing really well. How about you?
Yeah, I'm doing good. My allergies are just Texas allergies, something else, man.
you've got the sniffles and the coughing and the everything going on right now.
I do. Hey, how was your week?
Oh, it was nonstop. Honestly, it felt like I traveled for work. So I went out to California for a quick trip from Tuesday to Thursday, which made me feel like I was just more tired at the end of it because of never really adjusting to the time changes. And then I got
That's a big time change.
Big time change. And I woke up at like 4 or 5 a.m. every morning there, the two mornings that I was there, because my body was on East Coast time. And then flight delays and didn't get in until almost 3 a.m. So it was an exhausting week, but it ended with a really great, we had a Good Friday service called a Tenebrae service. So it's service of like the lights or whatever. And we did it last year for the first time at my church. And it is one of my favorite services that we have. Just being able to read the whole account in scripture of Jesus's last days. And then just ending on the, what's the word I'm looking for?
Like waiting.
The sobering aspect of his death. And like you said, you know, the waiting, we know that what is coming on Sunday, and being able to then walk into Sunday morning service with it being extremely just uplifting and praise. And it's just one of my favorite services. Mm-hmm. So how has your week been?
Yeah, it was pretty good. Just homeschooling my kids this week. And I had some writing to do, some curriculum writing and some editing for our VBS this summer, which I'm really pumped about. And we're taking our kids through prayer and like how God wants to talk with us through like different types of prayer. And I'm so excited to write it, but also because my kids get to sit in that, and I'm really pumped for that. But then we also had our Good Friday service, which absolutely is my favorite time. I think we often we know that Christ died for us, but we want to skip that part and get to like, but he came to life again. And so I love taking that time to sit and like lament that it was my sin that put him there. Mm-hmm. Right. And, so we are, our Good Friday service is very similar. It's very somber, and any song that we sing, we've taken everything about the resurrection out, recounting what put him on the cross, and then we leave in complete silence with no one speaking. And it is, I mean, I get chills every single time just to think that, yes, we don't mourn as those without hope, but we do mourn because it was our sin that put him on the cross, you know, and just sitting in that tension that we don't like to do. We want to joke about it. And we're like, you know, Sunday's coming. And like, yeah, it is there. It is coming. But also right now, it's, as we are recording this, it is Saturday. And, right before Easter, and just to think that what his followers and the disciples were thinking on that Saturday of like, what happened and what now, you know, to really sit in that, is I think important and special, and we don't do that a lot. So, So all of that
has nothing to do with our topic.
Nothing to do with our topic, but that's what's welcome to our conversation as friends.
Yes.
So Kristen, the topic, I guess like the series kind of that we are going to start today.
That we didn't really mean to start, but we kind of were like, oh, okay, this is natural and this is what we're doing now.
Yeah.
If you guys think that we planned this, we did not at all.
Yeah. This is our heart. I think like, if you were to ask me coming out of fundamentalism and legalism in the church, what was the defining moment for me? It would be about 5 or 6 years ago, really learning and studying the attributes of God. Mm-hmm. It completely changed my life. Yeah. And that's something that I just want to start off with. And today is more of just an introduction into what it is. And then in the coming weeks, we will dive into specific attributes and then kind of how that impacts our life. But Kristen, when we talk about attributes, what would you say, like, what do we mean whenever we talk about attributes?
Yeah. So attributes, essentially, they tell us about someone, right? It's their character, it's who they are. So when we talk about God's attributes, it tells us who he is and what he's like. So obviously any kind of a relationship that you have, you are progressively getting to know the person better. And mm-hmm. we talk about having a relationship with God, right? That a few years ago, it was all the rage to say, it's not a religion, it's a relationship. And that's true. Like God is a very relational God. And we want to deepen that relationship. And in order to deepen that relationship, mm-hmm. we have to know him. When we meet someone for the first time, we don't consider that we really know that person until we've actually gotten to spend some time with them. Similar to us, I think we would have said 18 years ago, when we met, we wouldn't have said we know each other. We might know of them. In that first year, we would have said, oh yeah, I know Shanna. But mm-hmm. now 18 years later, like mm-hmm. I know Shanna, I know her. The more we come to know that person, the better we understand how to carry on a relationship with them. Mm-hmm. And in the same way, a right relationship with God has to be rooted in knowing who he is. And we don't mm-hmm. have to have this magical trying to figure out who is God. He's revealed himself in mm-hmm. his word. Like he's done the work for us.
Yeah. You see like his character and his attributes on display in scripture, all the way from Genesis, all the way to Revelations. And, sometimes it's shouted and loud and, God is this. And then sometimes it's whispered, all of it points to who he is. And attributes are so incredibly important.
Why are they important?
Yeah. It's our knowledge of God that determines our worldview, right? How we think, how we act, how we live. Every aspect of our lives is based on our understanding of who God is and our view of him. So our struggles and sin are often rooted in just a wrong view of who God mm-hmm. is, right? You think back to the garden and how Satan sought to make Eve question, right? Is God really who he says he is? Did he really say that? And so, if the enemy can convince us that God's not who he says he is, then that's exactly how we fall in temptation and sin, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You think of like the sin of not being content with where mm-hmm. you are, right? So what is my wrong view of God? Well, one of them could be that he's not sovereign. Like he just doesn't mm-hmm. have control mm-hmm. over where I'm at. Mm-hmm. One could be that he isn't doing good for me, right? That he is not ultimately good and can only do good. So therefore where I'm at in the situation that I might not be content in, isn't good because God is not good. So those are just wrong mm-hmm. views. And it's hard and difficult because a lot of times we won't actually come out and say that, but it's mm-hmm. that's how we live that out, right? Like if someone were to say, do you believe God is sovereign? Absolutely. Do you believe God is good? Absolutely. And then we turn around and complain or are just in this deep discontentment with where we are in life. And with our actions, we are saying that we do not believe what we just said. So we have a wrong view of who God is in those moments.
Yeah.
Sorry, was a soapbox.
No. That's perfect. Because I think that our view of God, like you said, comes out practically.
Yes.
In the way that we live, in the way that we worship, the way that we think. It is our worldview.
We can say it all we want because a lot of times we know the right answers. Like we know what should mm-hmm. be the right answer, but how we live that out is a true telling of what our heart is believing.
Yeah. Yeah. So it is the attribute of God, the knowledge of God that really defines how we see ourselves. And until we see God rightly, we cannot see ourselves rightly. Mm-hmm. And when you look at the attributes of God, you know, you see his character, and in light of that, we see our sin, right? So not only is a good and right view of God so important, but it is for us to see ourselves and our need for the gospel, right? Mm-hmm. Taking it back to last week, how we constantly need to preach the gospel to ourselves daily. If we are to truly know God and grow in knowledge of God, we have to have an accurate understanding of who he is. And there is a huge difference in knowing about God and knowing God himself. And it is very dangerous, I think, to mix that up. Hey, you want to read John 5:39-40 for us?
Yes, absolutely. So it says, "You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. And it is they that bear witness about me, yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life."
Yeah. And I think that verse, it's humbling to me because it's like, you search the scriptures because you think you know me, but you don't come to me. Mm-hmm. I think we can be theologians who know all the right answers and not know God deeply. If our theology is divorced from an intimate knowledge of God, we have a huge problem.
And that can be a difficult thing to travel when, if you are someone who enjoys the study of theology, right? Like, and that is right and good, but if that study and knowing of the right answers does not penetrate the heart, like if it goes, I heard many times, you know, from a head knowledge to a heart knowledge, like there's a vast difference between the two. You can have all the head knowledge you want, but if it's not a heart knowledge, if it's not something that has penetrated the heart, then like you said, it is very dangerous because you live on a very rocky road and you convince yourself of things that might not be true.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember there's this quote that A.W. Tozer said that says, "What comes to mind when we think of God is the most important thing about us." Mm-hmm. So when you think of God, is there a certain attribute that you are drawn to? Like, God is this cuddly teddy bear and he's loving and good. And okay. Or God is like this scary guy that I can't know and like way far off, you know? And so that's why I think if we're going to be right anywhere about anything, it has to be in our knowledge of God. Because if we are wrong about who God is, we're wrong about everything.
Yeah.
Right?
So what are some of the ways that we get God wrong? I'm going off script here.
I know.
What are some ways that we view God incorrectly or view God wrong?
Yeah. So if we think of God, we can think of him as like this authoritarian person, right? Mm-hmm. Like this universal police officer that's like, you can't have any fun and you have to do this, 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 and this in order and stay within these bounds. Then at the core of that, we can believe that he's not truly good, right? Mm-hmm. That he's out to get everyone. And that would kind of make him seem untrustworthy, right?
Yeah, absolutely. If you view him as, like you said, an authoritarian, you would not trust him. He would seem suspect in kind of what he is doing. In the same manner, though, if you want to go from that extreme to the other extreme, if we think of God as like this grandfatherly figure, kind of like Santa Claus, who's kind to everyone, we'd be led to believe that he's not bothered by our sin, that he just doesn't care, that he would just be loving and overlook all of our sin. And that it would be okay if we just tried to be really nice people, like nice humans who are just being nice to everyone. And in that we lose his justice. We lose aspects of his character by focusing on just one. In the same way, you know, is he a universal, universal police officer? This idea of He doesn't want us to have fun. No, but you can take attributes way too far to make him seem that way. Being like a loving Santa Claus grandfatherly figure that focusing just on his love, and without the rest of his other attributes and the rest of his character, puts us into that ditch. If you think of God as a taskmaster who is never satisfied, which I think that's where a lot of us come from, of that view of God, then our faith becomes born out of guilt and shame. We rightly realize that we are never going to be perfect on our own. But instead of that knowledge pushing us to the one who was perfect and is perfect and did it for us, we try to muscle through it and double down. And just, if I do this list of do's and I don't do this list of don'ts, then will I have appeased God? Yeah. And scripture tells us that that is like filthy rags to him. He's like, this means nothing to me. And that's in direct opposition of the gospel, which is what we started with in the very first episode. Now you guys are seeing why we wanted to start with the gospel, because we're going to reference it constantly throughout these next episodes. Mm-hmm. And it's just, when we focus too much on one attribute is where we start getting a wrong view of who God is, and how that affects our lives then.
Yeah, that's so good. I think when I'm thinking of like the attributes and having like this right view of God, the depth of our knowledge can never exceed our right understanding of who God is. Mm-hmm. So like we're going back to holding one attribute above the other,
right?
Like that's still not a right view of God, right? Mm-hmm. I know something that Jen Wilkin has said, and I've appreciated this, because when you're thinking about how God reveals himself to us in his word, God is not able to be fully known, right? We cannot fully know God, but he's able to be sufficiently known. Mm-hmm. And that is in his word. So studying the attributes of God is an opportunity to know God better by learning more about his nature and his character. And his attributes do inspire awe and reverence, right? You think of like the fear, the verse, like the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, right? We do need to have that right fear, right awe, right reverence of who God is, but he's also deeply personal and relational in nature. And I know that theologians forever, there's so many books out there about this, have divided God's attributes kind of in two categories, right? You have like his divine, or what they would call his incommunicable attributes, meaning only God can be these. Mm-hmm. We humans cannot be these things. Or his relational or his communicable attributes, meaning we should pursue to be these things. We can also reflect these things. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to kind of start off by just kind of giving a brief overview. This is a very brief list. We will dive way deeper into this into future episodes, but how about we start off first with maybe some communicable attributes, Kristen. So what are some ways that God is like this in his character, but we can also reflect this to others?
Yeah, absolutely. So some of those relational ones, ones that we are able to, like you said, able to do, right? Mm-hmm. Is God is loving, right? And we are called to love. He displays infinite, feels and displays infinite unconditional affection towards his children. His love for them doesn't depend on their worth, response, or merit, right? We are called to be loving just as God is loving. He is just. He is good. He is what is best and gives what is best. He's incapable of doing harm. Now, will we ever be able to fully be good? No, because we are capable of harm, but he is good and we are to pursue that as well. He is generous. He is wise. He is faithful. He always keeps his promises. That is one, I might have mentioned this before, that is probably one of my favorite attributes. If I could choose one, it's one that has resonated very clearly with me in the last, you know, the last quite a few years, but especially the last year or so, is just his faithfulness and that he always keeps his promises. And he's long suffering. Those are all ones that we are to be pursuing after.
Yeah.
But yeah. There is a whole list of ones that we cannot do. Even if we try to pursue it, we just can't. And yeah. Those are those divine or incommunicable ones. So what are some of those, Shanna?
Yeah. So these is just a very short list of things that are only true about God and who he is. So he is infinite. He has no limit in his person or power. He's incomprehensible. He's beyond our understanding. We can understand him in part, but not in whole. And I think that's what Jen was saying when he's not able to be fully known, but mm-hmm. sufficiently known. He's self-existent. He depends on nothing and no one to give him life or existence. He is self-sufficient. He is not vulnerable and he has no needs, which is different than us, right? Right. We are very vulnerable people and we have needs. And so knowing that God is not vulnerable, he is self-sufficient. He's omnipresent, fully present everywhere. He's omnipotent. He holds all power. What he wills, he can accomplish. And I love this one. He's omniscient. God knows everything, past, present, future, all potential and real outcomes, all things, micro and macro. And I think that is, when I think of that, like he knows all the little things too, mm-hmm. not just all the big things. And I think when we think of him and his attributes, he is also like this transcendent God. Like he is high and lifted up and worthy of honor and praise and a right fear of God, but he's also imminent. He's mm-hmm. also right here with us. And I think when we can wrap our heads around that, he's not just, each attribute is not just a part of God. Mm-hmm. Each attribute is God in its entirety. And right. I think that is just incredible. Like he's loving, but he's also just, and he's not part loving and part just, he's fully loving and fully just.
Yes.
Or he's fully good and fully.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And his love is shown in those other attributes. Yeah. As well. Him being just is loving. Him yeah. being, you know, what was the other one that you said? You said just, there was another one that
loving, good.
Yep. All of those. Him yeah. being good. Yeah. Is loving.
Yeah.
It's yeah. You cannot divorce one from the other, because when you do, we get to those wrong views that we talked about before, right? When you mm-hmm. divorce one and you say, I'm only going to focus on this, or God is only this, then we fall into a wrong view of God.
Mm-hmm.
And then we start living our lives in light of this wrong view of God, which yeah. then leads us to sometimes teaching others this wrong view of God. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that wrong view of God can lead us to the point where we're like, I don't want to do this Christianity thing anymore.
Yeah.
Like this isn't what I signed up for. Because that is not a right view mm-hmm. of God. Like the view of God that you have is not right. And it would be best to have a deeper view of God and a deeper knowledge of who he is.
Yeah. And we referenced this briefly in the last episode too, but it's your view of God, like we said earlier, will come out practically and oftentimes in moments of despair.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you do not know and practice who God is now, when life is, it may not be great, but it's going, life is going okay, and you are rehearsing these truths, then in those moments of despair and the dark night of the soul,
mm-hmm.
you can recall, hey, do I believe that what God says about himself is true?
Yeah.
And that changes everything.
Right. And even in the fact, you know, you were talking about him being omniscient. Even in that fact, like, do I believe that God knows all things? And if he knows, then he knows where I'm at. Like, I haven't been forgotten. He knows the things that I don't even know yet, right? He yeah. knows the things that are to come. Yeah, it's just so important to have a wide view of who God yeah. is and a deep view.
I want to tell you. Oh boy, we're just singing that song now.
Start singing it.
My daughter's 9, and we at our church, we teach all of the lessons, and each of them has an attribute of God in it. And so as they're learning about these lessons, they are also learning about who God is and his character. And I love that. And her favorite one that she says all the time, she even said it yesterday to me, is God is incomprehensible. He's beyond our understanding. And I love that because I think so many times we want to be able to wrap our minds around him. And sometimes it's okay to rest and just say, you know what? God is incomprehensible.
Right.
And that there's freedom in that, that I don't feel like I've ever felt before until I got into these attributes. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we were made to bear God's image. Right? We were made to bear his image and reflect these communicable attributes to the world. And First John says, and by this, we know that we've come to know him. If we keep his commandments, whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments is a liar. And the truth is not in him, but whoever keeps his word in him, truly the love of God is perfected. By this, may we know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. And so I think that is so important to remember this, like we have come to know him, but we are also to walk in the same way that he did and reflect these attributes that we can to the world, right?
Right.
In order to do that, we have to know who God is.
Yeah. And how do we know who God is? Like we talked about it before, right? That he revealed who he is in his word.
Yeah.
And so as we're reading scripture, we have to remember that the Bible is a book about God.
Girl, preach.
We have to look
at it. You're not allowed to do that.
I'm not allowed to preach. I'm allowed to teach as long as no men are listening. And as long, so I need all you men to turn off the, it's fine. No, no, but we have to remember that the Bible is not a book about us. Yeah. We have to look at it first to see what God is like, and then we see ourselves in light of that. So knowing that God is good shows me what, you know, and applying that to the circumstance. It's similar to, as we start seeing God for who he is, it will start to shape how we view our current circumstance, but also how we like read it in scripture. Similar to buying a new car, right? Or buying a new to you car, you might have never really seen that car or that color or whatever it is on the road. But then as you're going, that's all you can see sometimes after you bought that car. So as we learn about how God is good, we start seeing all the ways he is good in our current circumstance, or we start to see that showing up in scripture that we've never seen that before. You know, we start thinking, when you've really started learning and thinking about how God is just, you start seeing that pop up, not only in your life, but in scripture as well. Same with when we learn about his faithfulness, his mercy, his patience, his omniscience, his, all of those attributes that we talked about, those things just start popping up and you start recognizing them more and giving you an even deeper understanding.
Yeah. I think that, I for sure, and it could just be growing up in fundamentalism, but I for sure was taught to read the Bible, that God gave us the Bible as a way for us to live, right? So it was more of, I'm reading this and I'm trying to figure out about me. And not that it is a book about God. And that, I mean, that's, it sounds so simple. But when I was like, no, this is a book about who God is and what he has done in the person and work of Christ, right? Changed my life. And going back to like this attribute, like, for example, I'll just give, when we're reading or studying scripture and we are trying to apply this, we first want to see, okay, where do we see God in this, right? Mm-hmm. So knowing that God is generous, God gives what is best, shows me that I am able to trust him and that this is what his best is. You know, so I really think it's like getting these attributes in our mind and in our hearts will give us a good way to see ourselves.
Yeah.
Because when we base our understanding of who God is on our feelings, we are setting ourselves up for disappointment because our desires and our feelings can be very deceptive. Mm-hmm. But you know what's not deceptive? God, his word, because he is unchanging. Another right. attribute. Another God attribute. Never changes.
And it's so, I think we talked about this before, and it will probably be something that comes up often because, again, let's face it, as primarily women that we're talking to, we feel things. We feel things and we feel things deeply. Mm-hmm. And if we're not careful, we base, like you said, our understanding of who God is based on our feelings and how we're feeling in that moment. Mm-hmm. So in this moment, things are going great. So I feel like God is good. He is generous. He is all those good things. I will agree with those. Mm-hmm. But when we aren't feeling so great, when our feelings are ruling that, mm-hmm. then if we aren't, again, having a deep and firm and rooted view of who God is and what scripture has told us of who God is, then that is when we start viewing God as, oh, well, he's forgotten about me. I've been abandoned. Like he, mm-hmm. he doesn't know me in my corner of this world. Like no one else. Yeah. No one sees me. Mm-hmm. And God has left. He doesn't care. He's obviously too busy with other things, right? He's mm-hmm. got the war in Ukraine. He's got all these things going on in the world. He doesn't yeah. care about me, and he doesn't. And so that, and then that's where we start despairing, right? And that is, we just keep going down into this almost funnel of despair.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so good. This is a foundational thing, and it's something mm-hmm. I'm very passionate about. And so I really wanted to start this off with just, before we can get into anything, we need to know the gospel and we need to know who God is.
Yes.
And so
will color everything else, and it should should. The gospel and who God is should color every other conversation that we have and every other topic that we hit.
Absolutely. And it's been said before, you've heard this 100 times, I'm sure, that our theology determines our doxology. Mm-hmm. And so what you know about God to be true and right determines how you view, see, and worship him. Mm-hmm. And we will, even after this attribute series, we will still be talking about it yes. in whatever we do, because it's so foundational. It is so foundational. Over the next few weeks, as we walk through some of these attributes, we will see the ways in which God is totally different from us. And we will also see the ways that we're called to become more like him, right? The goal is for our hearts to be aligned with God's heart, mm-hmm. but we have to know his heart, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm really excited about this.
Yeah. Ultimately, if we want to grow in grace, we have to grow in our knowledge of who God is. Mm-hmm. And for those of you that want to do more study and want to know the resources that we're going to be pulling from, let me tell you, Shanna and I are not, we are not just creating this. We have books.
We're not reinventing the wheel here.
No, this is all on the shoulders of others that have come before us that we get to present some of this stuff that we have learned. Mm-hmm. there will be sources, some books and some studies, Bible studies as well, that hopefully as we talk about some of this, it will kind of pique your interest and you'll be able to either buy the book and read it or do the Bible study that we have referenced as well. But all of that will be in our show notes, of course, and on our site and all that fun stuff.
Yeah, we have a website coming. And so we will have a list of resources.
It's so pretty.
It's so pretty.
It's beyond anything that Shanna and I could ever do, but we got a little sneak peek of it yesterday, and it's so cool.
Yeah, we are so excited. Shout out to Mark. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you. You are the best.
You are the best. Our heart is that people would know God and love him deeply. Mm-hmm. We were not created to just go through life day by day surviving. He wants us to thrive, and he wants us to thrive in communion with him.
Yes.
And I think that is so important. And so, Kristen, I am so excited. Like, just preparing these notes, which I've been studying his attributes for like 5 years now, just preparing these notes, I got so excited again. So I'm like, this is just so, it's so beautiful. And I can't wait to do this with everyone.
I know it's going to be so great. And I don't think we've even decided how we're tackling this. We've gotten this far, guys. This is a week by week process. we do know somewhat how we're going to tackle it, but I don't think we've even decided which ones we're tackling first. We might have, and I might have forgotten because it's been a crazy week. But just know we are super excited to be able to tackle these and learn with you all, because we learn as we study, we learn more and more things and are convicted of things as we are reading scripture. So.
And we would absolutely love you guys to interact with us and tell us what you think. And if God is revealing anything to you as you are also studying his attributes, we would absolutely love to interact. So as of right now, the podcast is bi-weekly. So I feel like everyone should know that. Like, we haven't heard from them in a while. It's like,
yes,
we're getting started. Bi-weekly.
we didn't want to bite off more than we could chew.
Yeah. Yeah, but we do have some really exciting things coming down and planned. And I'm just really excited for what the Lord, how he can use this to minister to people and to my own heart, you know, having to study and be in his word. So,
and of course, we have social media. I think we made a plug about that last week. Want to make a plug about it again this week. Follow us on social media, find us there, interact with us. We'd love to be able to, we were even talking before we started recording, we said, we're two best friends and we want to be friends with other people too. And we want it to feel like you guys are friends with us. And so again, one of the ways is for us to get to know each other. And, so find us on social media, interact with us, leave comments, that kind of stuff. And one of the two of us will be on there and be able to interact with you guys. So,
right, Kristen, that was a great.
So that was a fun episode. Yeah. And until next time.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Grow in Grace podcast. You can find us at growingracepodcast.com for links to all of our social medias, resources we suggest, and to listen to previous episodes. We hope you can join us next time as we strive together to grow in grace.